This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We got Mean Text coming up shortly, so you still have a few minutes. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Yeah, I was just trying to round up on the first pitch. 640 first pitch. It's 638. So hopefully that...
You've been corrected, Bob.
The texter is going to be okay. They said something along the lines of, well, for those that actually want to see the first pitch, it's at 638. Okay. I don't know. Are they on the minute? Is there a chance it could be 639, 640? Is it going to be exactly at 638? I don't know.
Why is that texter so fussy?
I don't know. It's hard to interpret tone over text. So they could have been laughing, could have been like, you know, giving you the
business.
I just
like to assume. I assume that everybody is just really mean and nasty.
Some of them are.
No, that's actually not true. I actually am the opposite. I think 90% of people are good. 10% are bad.
Yeah.
I used to say 90% of people are good. The other 10% are texters. See, I'm jabbing him again.
Yeah, there you go. He's trying to inspire your mean text. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company.
There's some really good ones in here today.
Yeah, there were a couple of clever ones in
there. I don't want to spoil it. One having to do with Lunchables.
Don't do it. Dave, I know you want to read the end of the story. Like back in the day when you could when you rented movies, when you would go to Blockbuster, would you just fast forward to the end?
No, it really only applies to the radio show, Bob.
Mostly, you buy a book, do you read the last page first?
Mostly I like to see the glance that's exchanged between you and Lefko.
Like, here he goes again.
Like yesterday I said something about, well, Greg Papa will tell us, you know, about throwing out. And I saw you guys exchange a look.
Yeah, I'm like, there's Dave cutting to the ending once again.
Cut to the chase.
Once again. All right. Well, we'll get to your text coming up. So you got a few minutes to get creative there. We've got our submissions from Adam Ray. So we'll sprinkle some of those in as well. Meanwhile, just talking about the Seahawks and this offensive rhythm, we saw two different offenses. And I'm not totally certain, and we talked about it before, was it more about Denver and what they just did better in the second half, or was it something the Seahawks just didn't do as well in the second half? Maybe a combo of both, because it was night and day. If you look at what they produced, you know, in Geno's numbers, he threw for 31 total yards in that second half. He had two touchdowns and 64 yards in the first half. Mm-hmm. You know, 17 of 18, incredibly. And he was efficient in the second half, but it amounted to 31 yards and no scores. They had three real possessions, the fourth possession, the kneel downs. So they had two punts and a fumble. And it was a different story. Now, credit to the defense, they only allowed 3 points in the second half, and the Broncos helped them out with that as well. But in terms of regaining what they had in that first half, what did you see?
It just nothing in particular. I mean, I don't think they all of a sudden, you know, got worse. And I'm trying to look at the numbers. I'm 90% sure that there was a batted pass that got knocked down. Now you could say, well, that's on Geno, but you know, a lot of times you see passes that are completed that are going right past somebody's hand. Oh, yeah. And you're like, oh man, if that guy, you know, has his hand 2-3 inches to the right, it's a knocked down pass. And so, you know, if you take that one away, I think he was 63% completion percentage. Yeah.
Just didn't amount to a ton of yardage. They weren't moving the ball through the air, certainly.
Well, and they started playing better. Look, in the first half, I mentioned Rashad Penny. You know, he had a couple of long runs where he was one-on-one with somebody and he's able to break the tackle. Their tackling got much better in the second half. So that was, you know, it was just kind of the ebb and flow. These are two very similar teams other than the quarterback. And I think that's why Geno stood out so much, because if you didn't know the reputation of both of quarterbacks coming into this game, you might say, well, they're probably about on the same plane. I mean, a 17-16 game, you look at Russ had a lot more as far as passing yardage goes, but as far as efficiency and things like that, Geno did. So, you know, I feel like it was just a very even matchup. That's my curiosity going into this game, I'm thinking that the Seahawks have the quarterback advantage going into the San Francisco game. I mean, Trey Lance.
You certainly have a better idea of what you're getting.
I don't think it's overwhelming or anything like that, but I think that you probably have the better quarterback right now anyway. We'll see where Trey Lance ends up. But yeah, I didn't think that there was – I just felt like that was one of those – you know, a lot of times in the NFL, and I'm much more likely to do that just because been around it and, you know how even the competition is, mm-hmm. that – there's lots of tip your cap moments, and that was a tip your cap moment. In the second half, their defense played well.
Here's Geno talking about what happened in the second half offensively.
You know, I think the difference between our offense in the first half and the second half was, you know, the number of possessions. I think we only had about 3 possessions in the second half. Obviously, we didn't convert the third downs that we were converting in the first half, as well as, you know, had a penalty that kind of stalled our drive there. So, overall, I just think it was the lack of possessions and then some things that we could have executed a lot better. You know, I could have stepped up in the pocket and really protected our tackle, Charles Cross. But, you know, both of those guys did a great job in the game. And, you know, I think if I step up a little bit more in the pocket there, you know, may not take that sack and may not get hit.
There were 60% in third down conversions in the first half. Mm-hmm. So, and it just, that number went down in the second half. So, yeah, they didn't get a lot of chances there, but a lot of that's because of them, right? Not completing, not converting the third downs.
A couple other things from Pete before we get to mean text. Talking to, and you brought up Penny, and we saw some good moments. Didn't see a ton of them, but we saw some good moments out there, and Pete talking about that.
I thought Rashad looked just like he looked at the end of last year. He looked explosive. He worked his way through the line of scrimmage, ran through some arm tackles and things like he had done to get himself in the secondary, and he looked like he was ready to go. There wasn't enough carries. He got 12 carries in the game, I think, and we just needed to keep getting him some shots because you just feel like he's going to score. I thought he looked great.
Yeah, he did. He did look explosive, and he had a couple of big runs that were brought back because of penalties. So, yeah, I walked away from that one. You know, Rashad's a question mark. We talked about it. Like, yeah, the ending of last season was awesome, but it was 4 games out of 5, the final 5. Is that who he is moving forward? We'll see him, right? I would say if you were skeptical, I'd say that went a long way, or not a long way, but it sure certainly put you in a positive frame of mind. But, okay, yeah, he looks like he's kind of picking up where he left off.
Well, and I think if you're skeptical, you think, okay, well, let's see, put a few games together.
Right, right. Too. So, but I thought it was a decent, he didn't go out there for 200 yards or 150 right. yard, but he looked good. I didn't see him limp off the field.
See, that's exactly what I was going to say. That was the big win to me, that he wasn't sitting on the ground and rubbing his hamstring or holding his knee or anything like that. So, yeah, I love that. But I do like the opportunity of him getting the ball one-on-one with a defender. And, you know, you got a chance to make an open field move and break a tackle. And it's nice and easy. You protect the ball. I mean, you know, no interceptions was maybe the best thing that Geno did.
Yeah, take care of the ball.
Yeah, you got to take care of it. And then if they can get the running game, Ken Walker, by the way, is back.
Yeah, here's Pete talking about that.
He went through the walkthrough today. He'll get the afternoon practice as well. And he did some stuff last week, so which gives us the indication. But he's got to get through the work and let us know, you know, how he feels. You know, this is, like I've said, it's an unusual injury, unusual recovery that he's coming back from the surgery. And he's got, we're relying a lot on how he is telling us he feels. So, and he's really excited and anxious to get going.
Coming back from a hernia.
Have you heard him speak yet, Ken Walker? I don't think I've heard.
I'm sure we did the night of the draft, but I don't recall.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah. No. And the same thing when we talked with Boye Mafe yesterday. So getting to know these guys. Yeah, and I Ken Walker, I love the way he plays. I feel like his game translates to the pro level. The few times that we saw him run, it doesn't seem like it's too big for him. The speed of it seemed like, you know, he's ready to go. So I would love to see a 1-2 punch between those two guys. And then, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Travis Homer get the ball a little bit. You know, because I thought he took a really big step.
Took a really big shot is what he took in that game. I don't know why. That's the indelible image I have of that game. And it was a great play because Geno kind of stepped up into the pocket, avoided the oncoming blitzer. And that's the one he lobbed to a wide open Will Dissly. They elected not to put anybody on.
Yeah. You know how sometimes I'll make noises during the broadcast. Yeah. When that happened, I was like, oh.
He just got
the linebacker. I keep trying to remember his name.
He freight trained him.
Oh my gosh! And it was like, I'm going to punish you. And yeah. I tell you what, Travis, he hung in there and he did enough. So sometimes I told Ray, or I think I said it on the broadcast, I'm like, he took one for the team there.
He did.
So, but you know, Geno, there was very little space there. The other really impressive throw that he made, besides the Parkinson throw, was amazing. That was a lot like what I saw in the Jacksonville game last year, where he threw that that seam route away from the defender, and not away so much that Parkinson couldn't catch it, but just to give a little bit of separation. Now, was that entirely on purpose? I like to think so. But sometimes, you know, you throw it to an area that, like, it's 25 yards downfield and it's like the size of a cereal box, you know. Yeah. So you're trying to hit those little windows. But the one that he threw to Tyler Lockett, which, again, Tyler Lockett in his zone sat down right directly in the middle. Like, if you would have measured the defensive backs, they would be equidistant from Tyler Lockett.
That's his gift.
Yeah, he just has a sense for that. But Geno got hit and kind of sort of, I don't know if it was like an arm or something. And he was, you know, he got hit first, and it was kind of while he was throwing it, and he made the adjustment. So I just, look, we got to see more of it, but there was four or five plays that Geno made that I'm like, I've never seen that before from him. Now, it's not like we've been seeing him a whole bunch out on the field, but during the preseason and during the games that we saw last year, it was very impressive. So, getting back to the running backs, the other guy, DJ Dallas, you know, Paul Moyer and I were talking about how you take the punt right off the foot. You actually run in front of the punter. We used to practice it all the time. Rusty Tillman would have. Can you imagine if he'd have blocked that punt? He had a pretty good return. He had a knockout shot on a kickoff. I think there was something on a punt where his coverage was down there in on a tackle and just almost blocked that punt. And I think in NFL history, I go back to like 70 or whatever, you know, modern day Super Bowl era, there's some stat that like you have like a 90% chance of winning a game if you block a punt. So yeah. Anyway.
He's made the most of those opportunities, say the very least, on special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he wants to be back there carrying the ball and be a primary back. It's not happening at this point. You know, injuries will happen. We'll see what kind of opportunities he gets. But I would say he's done a great job of becoming somebody on special teams, not just a guy who's down there and he's just part of the group making a tackle. He seems to be excelling. He seems to be a standout.
Yep, he's becoming one of those guys around the league that other people are going to notice, kind of like Nick Ballor.
Yeah.
And he's the captain right now, but I'm excited to see Nick start making some plays. Wouldn't mind seeing him play linebacker. I mean, that means somebody else is out, but I think he's a good linebacker, and, you know, he'll start to show up on the special teams.
One last one before we get to mean text. This is Pete Carroll talking about Charles Cross and how he felt he played in game one.
I thought he did fine, you know, for his first game. And it, unfortunately, he takes a couple, you know, on the edge there that we needed to help him with. But I thought he did a good job. You know, learned a lot. He's up against it this week, that's for sure.
Yeah. Takes a couple on the edge we needed. Is that in
Bradley Chubb?
Same thing that Geno was talking about. Like, hey, I should have stepped up to help him out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a nice thing for Geno to say to his tackle.
Well, it sounded like Pete was kind of echoing it, though.
Yeah.
Saying there was a couple on the edge there we could have helped him with.
Could have helped him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he was talking about Geno. I thought maybe they were talking about maybe leave a, you know,
like a
running back
in there or somebody to chip. Or
exactly. Don't leave him alone out there. Could have been either one.
Yeah. All right.
You know what the good thing is, Bob, when it comes to things like that? You hear one thing and I hear the other.
That's right. So we've got it covered.
That's
right. Let's get to mean text. How have they looked today,
Mike? Can I read the one that I saw earlier? Can I read it?
How do you feel like the texters have done today?
I'm pleased that you didn't spoil it. So yeah, they've done well. They've done so well that Dave literally cannot wait to read this text. So go for it, Dave.
Oh, that he chimed in with another one. It's 503 he or she. 90% of radio hosts are good. The rest are Wyman and Bob. That's pretty good because I said texters, but I was complaining earlier about the Lunchables and how the cracker to meat to cheese ratio is off. They're short crackers. Dave, the reason Lunchables have never fixed the cracker shortage is because everyone else who eats them can't count yet.
See, that is good. That is solid work. Texter, who was that?
503.
Nice phenomenal work.
I am glad you read that because I was struggling. Just
you were
in my
just,
head, I was cracking.
You were going to laugh through it.
Yeah,
that's solid. That is a good mean text. The 360 says, guys, we have an empty apartment in the senior memory care where I work. Shall we get the reservation process started? followed by they went for a double shot here. Bob's command of the English language reminds me of Ryan Leaf's NFL career. And then they wrote back, oops, I meant Dave.
Oh, come on. Here's one. Listening to Wyman try to finish a thought must be how Bob feels trying to get through traffic.
Here we go. We asked for brevity, Dave. Yeah. Here's one both of you will like. Short but funny. Fart. Just, that's kind of funny, I got to admit.
All right. I don't know about that one.
No?
I thought it was kind of funny.
360 says, how can Thumb say he's never seen a movie he appeared in? Deliverance.
Wait, what?
Read that again. Movie. How can Thumb say he's never seen a movie that he appeared in? Deliverance.
Oh. I'm wondering who they mean, that you're one of the inbred characters.
Yeah, which one were you?
Like,
which
never seen a movie, so.
Well, there's a lot of interesting folks that dwell in the mountains.
Gotta be one of those, then.
Do me a favor, Mike. Don't watch the movie.
Watch it. It's
just not worth it. It's not worth it.
425 says, inflation is so bad right now that Dave's trading card actually skyrocketed up to 99 cents on eBay.
You know, you think that's funny? 99 cents. That's like, they're worth like 5 cents.
So that sucker is skyrocketing. So 99 cents,
that is, I'm going to go home and start counting my cards.
How about this from Adam? Says Dave has the voice of a high school principal who would buy you cigars. Salk has the voice of a high school principal who would steal your lunch. And Brock has the voice of a high school principal who gets accused of wearing shorts that are too short and high-fiving too hard.
That's a little more realistic. That's definitely the portrayal of Brock. And, you know, remember I was showing you those pictures of the coaching shorts?
Yes, back those in the shorts. 80s? That's exactly what I pictured.
Yeah.
Those shorts and Brock just doing a way too hard high five.
Yeah. There were always guys like that on the team. I remember a guy named Jeff Robinson who went to Idaho. We called him Salty. This was in Denver. And his rookie year, he played really well. He had like 3 or 4 sacks. He'd come off the field, and the first one, I'm like, go to give it to him, and he practically broke my hand. So then, you know, after that, he was also one of those guys that would describe what was going on out on the field by showing you. So then he grabs me here, and he's like hitting me, and I'm like, just use your words. Use your words. I don't need to. But yeah, the hard high five, it's like a hard handshake. You ever have somebody do that?
Oh, yes. Some you can tell they're trying.
I'm not a fan of that.
The only person who's done it that you could tell it just was how they were was Adrian Peterson. Had the hardest handshake I've ever felt. And it wasn't, let me show you how masculine I am. He just, that was him. That's why I was baffled by his fumbling problems. Like, how's the guy with a grip like that fumble?
Who? Michael.
Kristen Michael.
Kristen Michael. He
was trying.
He was trying to squeeze your hand. Yeah.
360 says, I love how sports radio can just take you away to another place. Like when my roommate has Wyman and Bob playing in the living room, I leave the house and go somewhere else.
In your car to listen to Wyman and Bob.
There's another one from Adam. Salk laughing at his own jokes is almost as bad as Thumb talking about jelly beans. I'd rather have Bob judo chop me in the face with Dave's head.
Judo chop you in the face with my head.
206 says, I hope the West Seattle Bridge never gets fixed or doesn't get fixed for another 2 years, and I catch Bob in a road rage incident in White Center.
And then what was the ending to it?
Oh, there is more?
Yeah.
Oh.
He called you
in
name.
Capital letters.
I must have cut it off.
Yeah, it was, you guys suck.
Oh.
I was like, I read it, I'm going, is this a mean text or are they just trying to be a jerk? I couldn't tell. It was just.
That makes it more fun.
If that was,
our texters don't need to try to be jerks, Bob.
It was just, that was the part that was in capital letters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 253. This was literary gold from Dave. Quote, he's a good route runner and he runs routes. Damn it, I laughed.
I did not
he's
say that.
He's a good route runner and he runs routes.
I did.
I like that. Damn it, I laughed.
That was my impression there.
Why is it that you always laugh at the ones that are about me? You have something against me, Lefka? You want a piece of me?
They are the most simplistic and funny ones, I guess. I don't know.
This one says, Thumb is the kind of guy that a lot of people wrote off and writes back.
That was the Gino quote.
Yeah.
425. Bob gives off extreme stepdad vibes.
Stepdad vibes.
Is that the end of it?
Does anybody have a experience with a stepdad? I don't really know what that is. All right.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
360 also says, this was from Tuesday when we had Mark Schlereth.
Tuesday.
You guys could just call your whole show Stink.
There you go. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Any more from Adam?
Well, here's one. Adam. Here's one coming in, 509. Leave it to Dave to ruin Mean Text, the long-winded story.
Which one?
All of them.
Which long-winded story are you talking about?
How about this one from Adam? I imagine Bob sleeps in a Mac and Jack's Brewing Company onesie, wrapped in an Emerald Queen Casino hotline comforter, while listening to a Mike Blower's white noise machine, which consists of one phrase. That's what you look for at a ball club.
Man, even Blowers is getting bombed here.
425 says, Dave always says he could have learned a language instead of video games. Well, how about we start with English?
Solid.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I remember everybody got a chip on their shoulder when we went to the professionals. You know, Adam Ray. Who was the other comedian that we had sending in mean text?
Oh, Drew Barth.
Drew Barth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now our texters have upped their game.
They have. They brought them to a new level. 360 says, listening to Wyman and Bob is like going to an estate sale. Sounds like a good idea, but in the end, it just smells like things that should be thrown away.
Let's see. We got a couple more here. So you guys were mentioning that I like to complain about everything. So 360 says, Thumb's the guy that the neighbor will go and water and mow his lawn while he's out of town. And then Thumb will come back and complain it was too short and his water bill went up.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Like,
that is.
Hey, could you please watch my house? You cut the grass too short here.
They go the extra mile for him, and that's what you get.
The flowers are dying. This is just not up to standard here.
Yeah, you could have. If you're going to mow my lawn, you could have done it at the right height. I don't know if you want to share the water bill.
Of course, you brought in the crappy ones. You brought in the crappy jelly beans.
Jeez. Clown.
Oh, so funny.
All right, that does it for us. I want to thank our guests, Josh Jones, Sam Haggerty, Mike Blowers, and Greg Papa for joining us. If you missed any of those conversations or anything else, head to the podcast page, seattlesports.com. You're going to find it there. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.